Welcome to Believe. My name is Nicholas Upchurch. It's a beautiful day here in Miami, Florida. I am with Matthew Bivens. He is a guy that's going to help us to live an abundant and loving life. And I'm having actually a little bit of a tough day today. You know, at Believe, our show here, Believe, of course, our website's believe.love. Our YouTube is youtube.com/believe loves you. And we help you to attain success, true success, which is an addition to our other category, money and business, which we're going to talk with Matthew about today. And also we help you with health and wellness, exploring our universe, and a positive look at world news, as positive as we can be, right? And so today, to be honest, I woke up today and it was a little bit of a tough day. Sometimes actually when I get a lot of sleep, I feel like I'm shot out of a cannon, and maybe I didn't do my meditation and things like that. And, you know, sometimes our inner critic comes up like, oh, am I just repeating patterns from the past? Am I really a nice guy? Am I really doing what I need to do? And in order to be, to not be self-defeating, even if I've had success in the past, we can start to do these things. And these are actually the things that can addressing these things can enable us to actually do what we need to do to succeed in life. A lot of times I could sit here and give you the 10 steps you need to do right now, but it's not a matter of the 10 steps. It can be dealing with all of the things that we prevent ourselves, the things that come up that prevent ourselves from moving forward in life. So Matthew Bivens, his website is matthewbivens.com. That's BIVENS.com. He is an entrepreneur, a creator, a lover, a husband, a father, a coach. He is a student, a family man, and a friend. He's the host of a really cool podcast, Having It All, A period, L period, L period. And that is a raw and honest weekly personal development show for those courageous enough to ask the question, what does having it all mean to me? Matthew, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, Nicholas. That was a heck of an introduction. And yeah, man, I'm doing great. And how are you?
I'm good. I'm good now that you're here, because I think you can help a lot of people. And if we talk about true success, Matthew, which is in addition to just money and business, maybe our purpose, the reason we incarnated on this life, if perhaps we believe that we may have chosen to come here to deal with different things. So Matthew, what does having it all mean to you, and how can people do that even when they're, you know, maybe they're trying to improve themselves, but tough things come up?
Well, one thing I do want to touch on was you talk about success and the way that a lot of us look at success. And it's something that I've talked about on the Having It All podcast a number of times. And for me, the context that I choose to adopt around success is the idea of success with a small s and success with a big S. So success with a small S are things like your career, the titles that you have, your accomplishments, the number of cars in your garage, the vacations you go on, and, you know, people patting you on the back, right? Like, those are the small S success. Whereas the big S success is who you have become along the way. And so that is something that I address a lot on my show. And hearing you talk about success, I think you mentioned it two times in the introduction. I appreciate your message around success, because a lot of times I feel, and I know in my experience, I can get caught up on chasing that small S success and neglecting the big S success. So I wanted to bring that up. And then now I will properly answer your question. And officially, for me, having it all is living life with love and experiencing abundance. So am I being loving in all the different roles that are important to me in my life? Am I being a person who is showing up with love and giving other people love? And is that the context with which I view the world? And as a result of that, am I experiencing abundance? Am I experiencing abundance in my faith and my family and my friends, my fitness, my finance and fun? If I am showing up lovingly and experiencing abundance, then I can say to myself that, yes, I have it all. And that's the framework that I've put together around the word all, A-L-L, stands for abundant, loving life, And those six F's that I just mentioned, that's how I break down life. And for me, having a framework, it's a game, right? Like I like to view things in terms of a game, and having that framework allows me to look at the idea of having it all and really kind of sink my hands into it and say, okay, how am I showing up in my faith and my family? How am I showing up with my friends? And I can easily identify areas that I might be falling short, and those are areas that I can then jump in and address.
Well, I love that definition. I love what you're doing. I really do. We're actually, you know, we have very similar missions. I would say, here's my question to you, Matthew, because as much as I know and even I try to practice what I preach, sometimes that can be very difficult. And also, one of the most popular, I think 30,000 views or something we had on an episode I did like a couple months ago or a month ago when we launched, it was like darkness and pain and how to address that, three ways to address it. And I was just actually not with the background, with the sort of the screens, just like on the couch chilling. And I did that episode and it was really popular. And my question to you is, you seem like a really happy guy, a nice guy. And I think we all can be. We want to be like Matthew, actually. MatthewBivens.com. Find all of his stuff. Listen to his show. My question to you is, when you're not like that, when you encounter that, because right now in the world, and it can be a reflection of us. So whatever I start to get frustrated with in the world, X person not suddenly being on time, for some reason, that's a reflection of my impatience at the time too, because maybe I didn't meditate. Some people need to do more to get in line with all those things you mentioned so they can appreciate it. What I mean is, me personally, I have to do it more often. Some people just naturally, you know, can come to that place and stay there. And sometimes other people, they can either slip down. And so here's my question for you. When you encounter darkness or really, really tough things, even in, you know, let's, or you have a friend that's encountering it in themselves, because normally for ourselves, we know if you're good at doing it, you know what to do a lot of times to keep yourself up, to keep yourself in light and feeling good. But how do you handle that when you either have a friend that's going through darkness, or you're feeling it yourself, or you encounter it? Because there's so much tough, there's a tough energy in the world, and I understand it. I've felt it a lot, and you probably have too. But how do we deal with that in a loving way? Because that's the part that I think can be really tough. Things that we feel like we don't want to deal with and we're actually embarrassed about. And to be honest, it's sort of like out of sight, out of mind. There's a lot going on in the world. How do we address that really tough energy and what we perceive as darkness?
If you had asked me that question 10 years ago, I'd have a very different answer. Because back then I've gone through my circumstances in life and, didn't always relate to them powerfully. And I can remember as a teenager having thoughts of, well, if I died, how many people would show up at my funeral? Mm-hmm. And depending on how many people I could list off, that would help me to feel better. If it was a small list, I might feel shitty. If it was a big list, I might feel okay. A lot of people care about me. And fast forward a few years, I a few years later into college, and I probably have answered that question with alcohol and drugs. So depending on where I've been in life, I've had different answers to that question. Right now where I sit, I have, you know, like I've gone through a number of experiences and I found what really works for me and what doesn't work for me. Feeling sorry for myself doesn't work for me. Turning to substances doesn't work for me. What has worked for me is mindsets and understanding that things happen. You know, like you posted your episode talking about darkness, and a lot of people were attracted to it, and it was probably you being vulnerable. Well, just the other day, I published an episode called "I'm Tired of Working on Myself," because at the moment that's how I was feeling, right? Like stuff was happening. There's a lot of circumstances, and I kept putting this pressure on myself that I always needed to be healing and growing and transforming and all this stuff. And, you know, life happens, circumstances happen. And for me, I really have this mindset of I get to choose how it's going to impact me. And I can have a in the moment sort of reaction. You know, somebody I can rear end somebody in my car and scream like, damn it, can't believe I did that.
Right.
But then all the reps that I've put in to practice patience, to practice, you know, in being intentional, responding instead of reacting, all those things kick in and it allows me to recontextualize something that a lot of folks might look at as a terrible circumstance or darkness. And I can look at it and I think for myself, see things more objectively than, again, how I have in my past. And it just allows me to choose more easily how I want to relate to something, because I understand what anxiety feels like. I understand what sadness feels like. I understand what all these different disempowering emotions. And again, I'm speaking off personal experience.
Sure.
You know, like for me, when I feel anxious, that doesn't empower me. It doesn't lift me up. When I feel sad, when I feel a prolonged state of sadness, that doesn't boost my energy. It doesn't improve my health. So I understand that for myself, when I experience those things, my energy goes down. And I'm very, very much a person who wants my energy to continue to go up. So when life hits me, when circumstances hit me, I remind myself that it happens, that this isn't, you know, I don't believe that that things happen to me. I choose not to adopt that victim mentality. I also believe that there's nothing that comes my way that I can't handle, that if it is in my path, it's something that I am absolutely capable of handling. And I also understand that at the other side of the adversity, at the other side of the circumstance, is growth. There's a growth opportunity there. There's an opportunity for me to become an even greater version of myself. And so because of that last sort of mental construct of the growth opportunity, there's a little bit of excitement that happens when you know, shitty things happen in life. A part of me gets excited because I understand that even though it sucks right now, when I have you know, made it through the experience, I will be better for it. And those are different, I guess, mental tools that I use to kind of help when things, when stuff hits the fan.
Sure.
But I also lean heavily on my support structures. You know, I lean on my wife. I'm very open and honest with her about how I'm feeling. I'm not afraid to be vulnerable around my wife. So I'm not afraid to tell her something that is making me feel tense or uncomfortable. I also have an amazing community of people around me who love me and support me and want to see me continue to step into my greatness. And so I lean on them. I let them know what's going on. And I turn to people for advice, especially folks who have more life experience than me. Turn to them and ask them, hey, here's what I'm facing. Can you give me some feedback? So, you know, being open to receive that feedback and seeking it has really helped me to traverse some of the things that have gone down in my life. And I'm going through things right now as we speak. There's life circumstances around my family that I wish weren't happening, but they are. And so you just
How is your family?
My family right now is going through a healing experience. I have two younger sisters and father and mother, and there's conflict right now between my sisters and my father. And my parents are divorced, so my mom doesn't really get involved in these types of things. And it escalated in a fight, a physical fight, with my dad and my sister about 6 or 7 months ago. And that really, really, it stirred a lot of things up. It brought up a lot of feelings, a lot of anger and hurt and resentment and feelings of abandonment. And in my case, a lot of feelings of kind of pushing my emotions down and some of my patterns of kind of choosing to avoid things as opposed to facing them head on. All of those things were stirred up when this fight happened. And it has, you know, it's been the most challenging family circumstance that we've dealt with. Currently, one of my sisters, the one who got in a fight with my dad, they're not speaking. She hasn't spoken to him in, I don't know how long, months. That's atypical for my family. That's never happened before. So right now we're seeing a counselor who is working with each of us to sort of kind of uncover some of the origins of our feelings and what we want to get out of the different family relationships. And it's been a fascinating, challenging, rewarding in a lot of ways experience that we've been going through for the past 7 months. And I've been very open about it on the podcast. I don't know how many episodes since it happened that I've referenced this fight and everything that's come up. And man, people just open up, have been opening up through email, being like, man, I had the same exact thing went down with my father and my brother or my sisters. And we, you know, I didn't know how to navigate it. And they just have connected with my openness around this circumstance, because, you know, you mentioned earlier that you consider me a happy guy, and I consider myself, you know, pretty joyful as well. And stuff still happens. You know what I mean? Life still happens. So it's very interesting. It's fascinating, and it's never boring.
Yeah, those family things can be some of the most difficult. I know. I mean, my parents are divorced, so I understand it somewhat. You know, definitely, everybody has different experiences, but definitely those things can be tough.
Yeah, there's so much emotion. There's so much history. I mean, right now, the things that are coming up within my family are things that happened 20 years ago. And a lot of things were never addressed. I mean, my parents were divorced, or got divorced 20 years ago, and it impacted all of us kids differently. I was 9, or I was 10. My next youngest sister was 8, and my youngest sister was 5. And so we were in different stages of our development, and we remember things differently. And I mean, it is really fascinating just what we hold on to, the stories that we create and reinforce about ourselves and about other people. And now 20 years later, we're working to kind of undo some of those knots and reshape some of those stories that are really inaccurate or were based off of, you know, inaccurate information or whatever it was. And it's messy. This is the messiest sort of circumstance that I've been in family wise. And, however, I expected that, because I really do think that, things many times, doesn't always have to be the case, but many times they get messier before they get clean. You know, it's kind of like if you have a dirty stovetop and you spray some cleaner on it, it's going to get messier. It's going to look terrible. It's going to look even worse than if you just left it alone. But once you spray that stuff and it brings up all the gunk and everything gets kind of broken up a little bit, you can then wipe it away and you now have a clean surface. And so that's the process that my family is going through right now. And, you know, I'm grateful for it in a lot of ways, because I think that it's going to create opportunities for people to really just be transparent, be vulnerable, be honest. And for me, it's given me a wonderful opportunity to really define for myself what family is, and really kind of come up with what my responsibilities are for family, where my line is, like where my limit is, what I'm willing to give of myself, you know, my time, my energy, my money, all of those things have been asked of me in this circumstance. So it's really given me an opportunity to reflect, look inward, and get very clear on my values, get very clear on my roles and my priorities. And, you know, my wife and I just had a baby 5 months
Congratulations.
Ago. So, yeah. And it's amazing. We had a baby girl. And so I am now like, wow, okay. My father fought with his baby girl. I, you know, and I think to myself, what would it be like for me to have that sort of physical fight with my daughter? And I just think of all the impact and all these different things that I wouldn't have had that context if I weren't a father. And so it's not a coincidence that she was born 5 months ago and this fight happened 6 months ago. Like, it's, you know, it's amazing. And it sucks sometimes. You know, there's been a lot of moments that have been really crappy, and I spent a lot of hours and a lot of emotion poured into this. However, I do believe it's something that I chose. It's something that I helped to co-create. And so I'm really looking at it as an opportunity and treating it that way.
Yeah, that can be the toughest part, but the most truthful. I mean, I really feel good when you're talking about this. I feel good because I think it helps me relate to anything similar. And for everybody watching or listening, I feel like people want to know how to be successful and how to have it all, even be happy, right? Which probably is the real definition of quote unquote true success, and to love. And again, we can have these strong feelings, and just hearing you talk, and then we connect to our own deeply emotional things. A lot of times with family, things tracing back in our subconscious, we're not even aware of why we might have certain patterns, you know. I'm 36 now, so it's like, you know, and I am aware, but even being aware, still things pop up. And when we trace all that back, you know, to me, love is understanding is love. You know, love is understanding. Yeah. So it's like when you can relate and feel that emotion, everybody has that. And even, you know, there are things that we resist because it can be scary. You know, I've had hypnotherapists on the show, and I've been a hypnotherapist in my life, and I know that, you know, and I meditate deeply. I mean, I haven't even talked about everything on the show that's happened. I know you've had a lot happen, Matthew, but I haven't. Sometimes we even resist the topics we know that would help us because it's so, those feelings and emotions can be so frightening. So to hear you open it up. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. I don't even think it's a lot of times. I think it's most of the time.
Yes.
I think it's most of the time we avoid going in. We avoid going in on our pains, on the things that frustrate us, on where are the root of our anxieties. We avoid going in on those memories that bring up feelings of anxiety, whatever it is. We avoid going in because it's hard, because it's emotional, because it's painful. And I'll tell you, man, I think 4 years ago, I got very freaking intentional on going in. Very intentional, because I started to understand.
What did you do 4 years ago? What happened?
So 4 years ago, I was exposed to a gym, basically. And it's a place that has a health and fitness philosophy called the Your Day Balance Game. Wow. And there was people there that were not afraid to go in. And I kind of got exposed to these folks who would ask me questions about things. And I'd be like, whoa, okay, I really want to think about this. And I joined an accountability group, a weekly accountability group, probably about 2.5 years ago. And honestly, it's been one of the biggest catalysts for healing. And I put healing first. But healing and growth in my life, because one of the things that we do is this thing called an epic challenge. And an epic challenge is an area in your life where you're stuck. You're stuck in your understanding, and you're stuck in your ability to create a new experience. And so what we do as a group, one person will present their epic challenge, and the rest of the group will give them feedback. The epic challenge could be around anything. It could be sex, relationships, religion, career, family, whatever. It's that thing that's just eating at you that you just can't get over by yourself. And so by being a part of this accountability group, and I have confronted a lot of my epic challenges, and I have seen firsthand experience what it's like to be scared shitless of whatever the circumstance is, whatever the topic is, and then choose to go in on it and come out the other end feeling lighter, feeling more clear, feeling more powerful, feeling more confident, because there was a fear and I decided to step into the fear instead of stepping away from the fear. And so I know firsthand what it's like to not want to go in on something, because you know that it's got deep, deep roots, and those roots go far back, and they're intertwined with a lot of different things. And you know that if you start addressing it, you're going to have to let go of a lot of things, let go of some attachments. You're going to have to shift some beliefs. There's all sorts of things that are tied into going in. And for me, though, there's no other way to live. Once I know that there's something, some belief or idea that is holding me back from experiencing life in a more loving way, in a more peaceful way, in a more joyful way. Once I've identified that in here, it's just a matter of time before I go in on it, because that feeling that, man, I spent many years feeling like I was on the cusp of something only to back away. And that feeling of giving in to the fear, I know it all too well, and it sucks. And I hated that, like, I hated the way I felt about myself whenever I was presented with an opportunity and there was some fear wrapped around it, and I decided not to step in because of the fear. I did not like how that felt. And so I've made it a point to really, you know, like you said, with meditation, with a lot of different things, just kind of go in and look at those areas of my life where I'm choosing to move away from love and move towards fear, and deciding like, okay, that's not how I want to be, so let's shift that. And so I don't remember the original question.
No, it's okay. I mean, what I hear is just try to learn to love the fears, what I'm hearing. You know, find a healing group if you can somewhere, a support system that helps you to get into those feelings. And then one thing I'll add, I mean, for me, even today, I was actually thankful to talk to you because it wasn't so bad today. Another thing I'll say, somebody told me in Sedona, Arizona, actually somebody who gave me a reading, my first one, which actually happened to be accurate, like almost like a medium or something. And I've had a couple that were people just making things up. This girl was so amazing. But she said your improvement and your awakening might not be a straight line of improvement up. There might be some drops. So today, if I'm feeling little rough, it might not be as bad as I was in the past. Sometimes there's a different motion than just a guys like things like kind of straight and rigid up to improvement. You might have some downtime. So what I tried to do is just think, hey, if I can help people, whoever's listening, and Matthew's helping so many people. And again, we're talking to Matthew Bivens at MatthewBivens.com. He's the host of Having It All, which is an abundant, loving life, and also Doing It at Home, our home birth podcast. But one thing I notice about Matthew, in terms of health and fitness, Matthew, you're pretty ripped. You know, I saw you're really into health and fitness. And I was just wondering, what are some of the tips, especially as we're getting older, to getting in great shape, being healthy, and maybe some sort of odd tips that people might not have thought of? You mentioned health and fitness in the last segment, but what are some things that have helped you to get in great shape?
So for me, and this is for everybody, I think that the very first place to start is to understand your big why. So why are you interested in improving your health and improving your fitness? If your reasons for improving your health and fitness are not bigger than your health and fitness, then you will end up stopping. It will be inevitable. You will stop, and you will get into this cycle of starting something and stopping, starting and stopping, and starting and stopping. So what I mean by that is, if your reason for getting healthy is to get a six pack, if your reason for getting healthy is to run the 5K, if your reason is anything smaller that, or if it isn't bigger than health and fitness, you will stop. You know, you will hit a plateau where you feel like, I can't get abs. It's not worth doing it anymore. Or you'll run your 5K and it'll be like, great, I hit my goal, and you're going to stop. So I think the first place, I always recommend the first place to start is creating a why that's bigger than simply your health and fitness. So, you know, a why can be something like loving on yourself and really appreciating this body of yours. You only get one body in this lifetime. And perhaps if you end up coming back, you know, if you believe in reincarnation, you might come back in another form, in another body, but in this lifetime you get one. So loving yourself, or being an example for your kids, you know, that could be a bigger why. I do always recommend your why ultimately be something for yourself. But if the motivation you need to get going is around being that example for your kids or for your coworkers, then go with it. But just, you know, my first piece of advice is have a why, a bigger why, a bigger reason for your health and fitness than just getting healthy and fit. And my second piece of advice is really to start small. You know, it's all about habits. You know, getting, from my experience, getting healthy, being fit, making shifts. Like, you've spent many years building habits that haven't improved your health. So what you're trying to do now is to replace those habits with habits that are actually going to uplift your health. They're going to heal you. They're going to energize you. And it takes a long time to form a habit. You know, the different studies. They say anywhere from 30 days to 60 days, 90 days of doing something continuously to form a habit. I think it takes longer than that, honestly. But give yourself some time. Be patient with yourself. Be loving. Start small. Maybe your first step is to just walk to the end of the street and back. You do that once every other day. You know, start small and build from there, because once you start to get small wins, once you start to get a little bit of momentum, it can build. And then I also say set some goals. And again, keep those goals small. You know, the goal might be to work out 3 times in the week for 15 minutes at a time. And recognize when you have wins. You know, pat yourself on the back when you do that first 15-minute workout. Pat yourself on the back when you've gone a week or two and you've done it. And you can even give yourself little rewards. Obviously, don't make them unhealthy rewards, but, you know, recognize those wins, start small, and just be consistent.
What I love about what you're saying is a lot of these things really tie into everything else we're talking about: happiness, success, business, you know, finding your why, which is bigger, you know, the things that are deep down, you know, so finding your why, bigger than health and fitness. But we could apply that to money and business. We could apply it to happiness, getting small victories. You know, we talk about that a lot on this show. I think that's beautiful, and goals that are attainable. And then, you know, pat yourself on the back, maybe forgive yourself and try to just take things as it goes. I love that. So did this tie in a lot of these principles? You mentioned a fitness group, a certain type of thing that happened 4 years ago in a previous segment. Was that really effective? I mean, when people did this in that group, you can tell me what it was again. I mean, did you really see people start to transform when they did these things?
So what you're talking about is the accountability group and the epic challenges.
Yeah.
And
what was the name of the fitness thing? You said it was a gym.
Oh, okay. So the space itself, the physical space, is called the Your Day Playground. And I'll take a step back.
Yeah.
The Your Day Balance Game is a health and fitness philosophy.
How do you spell that for people Googling it?
YourDay.
Okay.
One word. Balance
Got
game.
It. Thank you.
Your Day Balance Game.
Thank you.
It's a health and fitness philosophy, and it's 3-dimensional. So the first dimension is fitness. The second dimension is lifestyle. And the third dimension is consciousness. So the space itself, the physical space, is a gym, and that's where the first dimension of fitness gets exercised. People come there every day, and there's weights, and there's different types of workout circuits and different things like that. But then there's also a lifestyle component called the Balance Chart, which is a soon-to-be app released on Apple and Android. And the Balance Chart allows you to address your lifestyle and really helps you to create and sustain healthy habits. And then the third dimension is consciousness. And through the Your Day Balance Game, that's where I joined the accountability group. And, you know, there's a lot of different accountability groups that people have. Some of them are through different organizations, maybe your church or something like that. And then others, people just want to hold one another accountable. This one happened to be through the Your Day Balance Game. And it's a group of 7 people. And the name of the group is called a Circle of Influence, or a COI. And that name comes from Stephen Covey's book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And understanding that you have a circle of influence, and those are things that you can actually impact. And then there's a circle of concern, which are things that we will worry about, but they're things that we can't necessarily impact ourselves. So the epic challenge and that concept happens in this COI accountability group. And to answer your question, have I seen people transform by addressing things in epic challenge? Yes. And their transformation really is parallels the epicness of their challenge, right? So if the more people are willing to open themselves up, to be vulnerable and really humble themselves to feedback, that's the degree to which major shift can happen in their lives. And I've experienced it because you're getting six other perspectives on what it is that you are stuck on. And if it's something you're stuck on, then it's most likely something that you've battled or you've thought about mentally many times, thousands of times, you know, something that you've just gone over and over and over in your head, but you can't create a different experience. And so when you have these folks, and this is a group that meets for 18 months, it's an 18-month commitment. So over those 18 months, you build a huge degree of transparency and trust with these people. And the trust is key, because when you're receiving feedback on something that is hard to hear, you know, and for me, for example, I received feedback on how I was showing up in the situation with my family and the choices I was making regarding to that. And some of these things are challenging to hear, but when you are with a group of people that you trust, and you trust that A, they're going to give you feedback and it's coming from a place of love, even if you don't want to hear it, it's still coming from a place of love. And B, you trust that these people have your ultimate health, happiness, and greatness in mind, then for me, it's allowed me to receive that feedback, digest it, and practice humility, because many times I don't want to do or don't want to accept the things that they're telling me. So practice humility and then move and then act. And it's through the action that the transformation happens. So we do this every week, and I've been in a COI for over 2 years now. And so I've seen, you know, over 100 epic challenges be addressed. And every 7 weeks, my epic challenge comes up. So I've had a number of them addressed myself. And I've absolutely watched people just open up, and it gets emotional. But there's an insane amount of love that happens in these experiences. And I've watched as people have poured themselves out, they've received feedback, they've really been given the steps to make a change, and they don't move. They don't do anything. They don't act on it. And they miss out on the opportunity to have their breakthrough. And so I've seen folks who have been in the epic challenge in the COI space and not have breakthroughs and transformation and growth. And then I've seen folks, and I've experienced myself on the other side, people have those big transformation and experience that healing and growth. And so it really comes down to the individual and what that person is playing for. You know, if they're playing for healing, if they're playing for transformation, if they're playing for more peace and more happiness, and that's truly what they want to achieve, then a lot of times people will be willing to take those challenging, hard, yet many times necessary steps to experience that.
Well, we're talking to an epic human being, Matthew Bivens. His website's matthewbivens.com. He's the host of Having It All, An Abundant Loving Life. And what you heard in the last segment, Matthew just talking about, is addressing those tough things. And, you know, mm-hmm. one of those tough things for a lot of people in the category of money and business, Matthew, which I know you've talked about recently, is our relationships with money. Sometimes we can think, we have a lot of money, it'll define us. Or even if we've made a lot of money, we might have lost it again, in my case, and then made a lot more. And then let's say some things, you know, we're taking chances. Now what I'm doing is I'm taking a chance and putting myself out there, getting a yoga studio going and hiring more in-person staff and then expanding our show, creating a studio and doing things that I know. Actually, I feel calmer now that I've committed, but I didn't have to do it. And it is probably the biggest area of growth when we kind of address those fears or go through those fears. But Matthew, in terms of money and business, how can somebody, whether they have no money or a lot of money, how can they improve their relationship with money?
So that's something that I talked about, I think, last week on the podcast. I forget the title of it. It's like how I'm trying to fix my effed up relationship towards money, something like that.
Yeah.
And for me, the first step was being honest. I am 30 years old, and I spent 28 years avoiding anything that had to do with my personal finances. And it wasn't until just a couple of years ago that I started to be honest with myself that, you know, I'm a person who seeks balance. I seek balance in my life and in all different areas. And I realized that personal finance was an area I was very much out of balance. And so I started to really look at how that was impacting me. And it was impacting things in my family. You know, I wasn't as confident as I wanted to be around money, around my ability to attract money and generate money, around my ability to manage my finances. And so, you know, again, it was one of those things where I recognized that I had fear. I recognized that I had spent most of my life with this relationship of scarcity around money. I never felt like I had enough. I always felt like second I got it, it was gone. I also didn't have a very empowering context around budgeting. I believe that you budget when you are broke. That's like what I thought. Whereas now I'm in a much different place, and budgeting for me is very much about managing my finances and you know, growing my wealth. And so it really took some honesty. It took some feedback. You know, my accountability group, we started addressing money in the group as a whole and really looking at our personal finances, having this belief that your financial health is going to impact your emotional health, your physical health, your mental health. And so it's just as important as those other areas. It's just as important to look at your relationship towards finances. And so getting honest with myself and finally having a group that was going to help me create some small baby steps. Really, I was introduced to Dave Ramsey's book, Financial Peace. And in there, he breaks down what he calls the 7 baby steps. And so that for me was a framework that I could get behind. And those baby steps have helped my wife and I go from a place of, you know, having 8 or 9 different debts of varying thousands of dollars down to 3 and almost down to 2. And it's really helped us to save up money for our emergency fund, put money aside for all different types of things, and really just learn how to manage ourselves in our financial abundance. And for me, I personally believe that as I become more masterful at managing myself in my finances, I'm going to start attracting, and the universe is going to start handing me more financial abundance. And so it's basically like, okay, you think you can manage it now? Great. Here you go. Go see what you can do with it. And so that's what I'm experiencing. I'm absolutely been experiencing that, having been very intentional around looking at my finances, sitting down, understanding my numbers, knowing how much money is coming in, how much money is going out every month, looking at my debts, knowing exactly what you know, all of my debts are, knowing what my credit score is, all of those things, all those areas that I used to avoid. I mean, I used to get creditor phone calls. I used to avoid them like the plague. I've been in a situation where I had negative money in my bank account and was like, shit, what am I going to do? I don't have any money. And so all of those things were a result of me really turning my back on and sort of denying that I needed that looking at my money and my finances was important, that, you know, there was a part of me, I guess, that didn't want to grow up. And now I'm so happy that my wife and I are in this place of weekly budgeting meetings and things, because, you know, on top of just having a handle on those things and just feeling more peaceful about it, I feel like we have more money now.
That's good.
You know, like as I started looking at the numbers, and I realized I have much more than I thought. So there's that benefit of it, and, you know, 1,000 others. But getting honest with myself, to answer your question,
sure,
being honest with myself, and that really helped.
I think that's a beautiful thing. I think honesty is good. I have to do the same, because if we can really assess where we're at, and I think it's really believing in ourselves. I mean, for me, believing we're worthy of success, even if we've, no matter what's happened in our lives. I think, you know, I've had millions of dollars in sales. I've had absolutely nothing, no car, and all of this stuff several years back. And then, you know, had some tough times, built everything up again, and now spending tens of thousands of dollars, taking a bit of a risk and wondering, you know, even though I'm created a literally a website, believe.love, a whole media network, thinking, hey, I got to do that myself. I have to believe in myself. And I think believing we're worthy of success with money, a lot of times we, right now in our society, people gauge that as if we're successful or not, as if we're good with money. And we do need it to pay for things. And I think having a handle on it enables us to feel like, I did the same thing. I looked in the accounts. I'm like, oh, I have more than I thought. And I think the fear can be, just relating back to our entire conversation, the fear, Matthew, can be great, because without it, we might like jump off a bridge and think, meaning like the fear keeps us alive. Like we actually, we might just do random things, walk into traffic. Do, you know, there is a part of being human where the fear keeps us alive. I think it's probably a good idea to be smart with money and not just careless, or maybe we'd always have zero. You know, so the fear, we can love it and kind of transmute it into motivation and just understanding that's part of the feeling based on these deep emotional things, based on our past experiences. And then it becomes a positive thing. Like you're saying, we have small victories and, you know, that support group is so amazing. I mean, I want to inspire, just like you, Matthew, are inspiring so many people. If I could tell everybody, please go listen to Matthew's podcast, it's because I can tell that Matthew is plugged into something. I would say his spiritual self. You know, right now people hear me, they hear maybe a faster version of me. I haven't mentioned everything, but I can tell, I can feel different energy signatures, and we all are capable of that. But I can tell Matthew is really plugged into, I would say, his soul. And there's a lot, he's aware of a great many of things, which is not that common for all of us, including me. I'm becoming more aware. So his podcast is Having It All, A-L-L, An Abundant Loving Life. His website is MatthewBivens.com. You can find the links there, B-I-V-E-N-S.com. And Matthew, it's been a great honor. What would you like to leave the audience with today?
So I want to leave the audience thinking about love and fear. You know, you mentioned it, that fear a lot of times keeps us alive. And you also used the word transmute. And, you know, just from what I understand about you, you're somebody who has practiced becoming more self-aware. And I think that the more that you're able, that you practice understanding yourself, tuning into yourself, the more that you begin to distinguish fears such as don't walk into traffic versus fears such as, don't leave my job to pursue entrepreneurship because I'm scared. And there's a lot of these different fears that we have that hold us back. They hold us back from opportunities to step into a greater version of ourselves, opportunities to really trust ourselves and to love ourselves. And opportunities to expand and grow and heal different things and transform. And so for me, a lot of what I talk about on my show, it comes back to personal experiences. And so many things for me shifted in life when I decided to answer the question, what would I do if I was not afraid? You know, if I wasn't choosing fear, what would I do? And more importantly, who would I be? And so I started very, very intentionally asking myself that question in different scenarios, and time again, choosing love, you know, because I really do think it comes down to a choice between fear and love in a lot of cases. And so the more that you choose love, no matter how scary it can be, no matter how daunting it can be, no matter how big the mountain in front of you looks, I can say that from my personal experience, I have always come out the other side grateful. I've come out the other side stronger, more capable, more confident, and many times more, you know, more humble with more humility, but just a more powerful, peaceful, loving version of myself. And so, like you said, transmute, this idea of transmuting energy. Fear is simply energy.
That's right.
That's all that it is. It's energy. So we all have the ability to shift that energy and move it from a way that from going to a place that's destructive and takes away to a place that is constructive and builds and heals. And so having that sort of context around fear and love for me helped give me a frame of mind to step into situations and yeah, experience so many of the breakthroughs that I have over the past couple of years. And so, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you having me on this show, and everything that you do is amazing. The first time I saw your website, believe.love, I'm like, yes, I can't wait to connect with him, because he's got love right there in the website name, because I think that's what it's all about. And so, you know, I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful to be able to chat with you and learn from you. And, you know, I look forward to the breakthroughs that your listeners are going to have as they choose love.
That's right. And part of love, especially for guys who grew up, they think they need to be tough and everything. It's exploring these things that we think are pointless, because the truth is,
oh, yeah,
we're probably here to learn. So everything, we go through the steps of building businesses. I've helped people build very large businesses, built them myself. But without doing what Matthew said, including myself, you know, we're just going to keep probably getting those lessons over and over and over. And I have to continue to do what Matthew said. So I really advise everybody to go to MatthewBivens.com and check out his stuff, because when you get this down, what Matthew is doing, a regimen, and guys like to think of things as a regimen. So even, and Matthew mentioned that in this episode, then all of these other things come down to how much time and money we have and the steps you need to take and paying attention to what similar companies are doing and the processes, and we go through all that. But you can know all that. I know all that. But why aren't we doing it to the best of our ability? Yeah. And it a lot of times it traces back to all of this, and that's probably why we're really here. Because after survival, after you make enough money to survive, these things are what really are important. I mean, what do you really need? I had 5 condos once I was 26, and I was like, oh, I could just keep getting bigger condos. Well, that's great. And then the market crashed from 2008. I lost them all. But I remember thinking like, okay, well, when does this game end? Because now I have a 2-bedroom on the ocean. I had a studio that, okay, so, but you can always just keep getting bigger condos and things, but is that going to make you happy? And I don't know about that. So I love what Matthew is saying. I think things can make you happy if it's from a place of love, like Matthew said. And ultimately, you know, we're going to try to, I've been interviewing a lot of people on Believe. That's what we've been doing. And we're going to transition into doing episodes more often. People can share this with their friends, believe.love, and really our iTunes, believeiTunes.com. Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/believeloves you. And share this episode with your friends, because Matthew is a really amazing person, because it does come down to the deeper things when it has to do with success. It's not necessarily just about the steps you have to take. It's really why you are or aren't taking them. And then how do you love yourself? And how do you become more aware of everything? And when you do what Matthew said in terms of energy with Qigong, Kundalini yoga, Reiki, prayer, whatever you want to do, you can actually get in touch with things that you can't see. And I'm just going to leave it at that. We've talked a little bit about it, but there's so much. The majority of the universe and everything in existence we can't see. Probably our real selves we can't see. It's probably we're a spiritual being having a human experience, not the other way around, only spiritual when we go to church on Sunday or do this or that. And that includes the tough times. That includes the tough family things. So thank you so much, Matthew. It's been an honor, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Let's do this again. Talking to you has been a real pleasure. So thank you. Thank you.